You know, it's my theory that if Don King was born rich and white, he'd be Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump was born poor and black, he'd be Don King.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I guarantee you there's no problem.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing.
Go ahead.
I want to get into it, man, you know.
Go ahead.
Like a sex machine, man.
Yeah.
Moving, doing it, you know.
Yeah.
Can I count it off?
Go ahead.
One, two, three, four.
The Godfather of Soul, James Brown means. The retired HBO Godfather, Larry Merchant, is in the house. A very good morning to you, sir. Welcome back.
Thank you, Pedro. Where have you been?
Well, you know, I've been hanging out. I went on a bender. You know me. I'm a big drunk. I was drinking for 3 or 4 months.
Well, no surprise.
Not exactly.
I hope you're all right.
Well, I put it this way. I quit drinking for at least during the show.
Well, I guess that's an improvement.
Exactly. I do want to clarify this. So I haven't had a drink in over 2 years, and I'm not an alcoholic. And like, I'm just my family are. I want to mention this. My family are so, both grandfathers, my father, my mother, all my uncles, but one. Bottom line is, I stay away from that booze. Anyway, Godfather, you sound good. How's life treating you?
Pretty well. It's another perfect day down in Santa Monica as I look down at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Things could be worse.
Okay. You know, it's funny that we were talking a couple of weeks ago before Manny Pacquiao took on Yuri Ugas, of course, the Cuban national that beat him. And you and I were talking about his early days, the fact that he was an unknown guy when he came in and fought Ledwell Luaba. Of course, I think it was in 2001 or 2000. He was an unknown guy, called in at the last minute, and you said to me, wouldn't it be ironic if he went out the way he came in? And that looks like it might be the script.
Well, that was an opponent that was in condition to fight and not the kind of guy you choose to fight if you don't have to. He's a solid craftsman, and he fought a smart fight, and he just beat the guy. He just was a better fighter on that night. And now, of course, we have all the questions of the future.
But you and I know when it comes to boxing or athletics in general, Father Time is undefeated.
Well, Father Time is undefeated for everybody. So boxers may have a shorter lifespan as boxers, but Father Time will get us all.
You know, last week this YouTuber guy, Jake Paul, drew 16,000 people into an arena in Cleveland, Ohio, and he drew over 2 million people on pay-per-view, and I'm not going to slam him. I mean, anybody that can sell tickets like that and turn over the revenue that he has, because people say to me, oh, it was a bit of a farcical main event, this and that, but the semi-main event allowed Amanda Serrano, a Puerto Rican woman from New York City, to display her skills in front of a crowd, a bigger crowd than she has ever had in her entire life. So it gave her some money. And I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but this guy Jake Paul threw $1 million at the undercard. In other words, he threw $1 million of his own money at the undercard in order to supplement their purses. I haven't heard too many guys doing that before, if ever.
Well, that is a first for me, and maybe his accountant told him that it was okay to do.
Okay. Why is it you always find the financial aspect of it? Oscar De La Hoya is in the hospital.
Well, what are these exhibitions? What are these low-grade pay-per-view fights? They're fighting to fight and to make money. And the money influences the matchmaking. It influences everything that goes on except what goes on inside the ring. So how can we ignore it?
Good point. Good point. Well, and the fact that they did over 2 million buys on pay-per-view was a mind-blower to me. I said, well, you know, the guy can draw 16,000 people in his hometown. I said, that's quite an accomplishment. When I found out they did over 2 million buys, I said to myself, yikes, there's 2 million people.
What was the price of the fight?
I think it was $50.
Well, 2 million buys is
that's a lot of money.
I mean, it's a lot of money, yeah. Well, that's why they do it. And if the pandemic and other things going on have limited boxing at the moment, then people are finding a way to make a pretty good living. And we have, of course, what we call the nostalgia circuit, although I've heard that Oscar De La Hoya has left it for the moment.
Oscar De La Fishnets? Yeah, Oscar De La Fishnets has backed out. He claimed he got COVID. He was vaccinated, he said, and he still got COVID. I don't know if that's really, and he's in the hospital. But the bottom line is we wish him a speedy recovery. But, you know, Godfather, this is what I was, and I asked you this yesterday. Even if he was going to come in as a light heavyweight, he was fighting a guy that walks around. They used to fight in the MMA world, and he was real trim at 205 pounds, this guy Vitor Belfort. The mere fact that a former middleweight, and Oscar De La Hoya, he retired as a middleweight, but so we'll call him that, a former middleweight, is replaced by a heavyweight in Evander Holyfield, that's a little shady for me. You see what I'm saying? How do you replace a welterweight or a middleweight with a heavyweight?
Well, if 15 or 20 years ago they'd have told you that one day one would replace the other, you would ask him to have a drink.
Okay. Speaking of having a drink, looks like Canelo Alvarez and
can I get something in here?
I'm sorry, sir.
Regarding the Oscar situation, inevitably, because so much money is involved, we have to look at it through that prism. And when he announces that he's had COVID, et cetera, you have to be, at least if you're a reporter, somewhat suspicious that how much money was in the till. Were people really paying enough for Oscar to risk his reputation? I wonder. And I will tell you that my explorations tell me that people who were going to put the fight on are also a little suspicious of why Oscar It suddenly got the COVID.
Well, I would say to this, I know size matters in combat sports, and this guy was much bigger than Oscar. And of course, a few weeks ago, Julio Cesar Chavez was beating one of these cross sport fights by an MMA guy who was like bigger than him. So size matters, and this guy was going to be bigger than Oscar. So maybe there is some merit to that. Tyson Fury, the world heavyweight champion, of course, still in the UK, about to hit the United States in the next couple of weeks. He's been, he's an emotional roller coaster. Do you think he can hold it together? I mean, because you told me, I remember when Muhammad Ali, when you approached Muhammad Ali after Mike Tyson won the title, he said to you, yeah, he won the title, but how long can he keep it and this and that? And I'm sort of pushing that question at you regarding Tyson Fury, because I don't know if all this layoff has done him and his emotionally sometime unstable self well.
Well, he comes from an unusual background as an Irish traveler. He's out there in our world now, and we don't know. He's just got one fight to win to convince us, and whether he's used his time to try to win that fight, or whether Wilder is going to out hustle him and out punch him. That's the story of the fight. But he is he is vulnerable, and he's made a lot of money, and we don't know how he's going to handle all of what comes down in this fight.
Okay, Hector just shot you a text. Hector says, if you think that the Oscar De La Hoya pullout was a bit suspicious, how about Errol Spence? A week after the fight was canceled, or after the fight took place, he's cleared to fight again.
Really?
Yep, he's cleared to fight again.
Well, what's that about?
Well, they said it wasn't a detached retina. It was a bruised retina or something like that.
Well, I don't know what to say. When you have one of these MMA boxing contests and a lot goes into the making of the fight, the promotion of the fight, etc., sometimes strange things are happening.
You know, I got a question for you. I'm going to have Christy Martin on in hour number two, of course, the former ladies champion, and she was both shot and stabbed by her husband, and she survived.
Have you seen the movie?
Yeah, she's got a movie out called Deal with the Devil. It's on Netflix.
Yeah, I've seen it. Have you?
No. Was it good?
Yeah, get a hold of it.
All right. I was supposed to watch it pre-show, but my somebody kept me. Anyway, bottom line is I didn't get the time. But she's going to be like, how good was she for that time? I mean, the fact that she was able to bring women's boxing to the forefront to an extent, and she was like a cheap undercard for a cheap semi-main event for Don King and those Mike Tyson and Julio Cesar Chavez fights, because I don't think Don paid her anything what she was worth. But the bottom line is she made a little bit of an impact there. What do you think? What are your thoughts on Christy Martin?
Well, she got on the cover of Sports Illustrated. I went down to Florida, I guess it was, to spend some time with her and interview her and watch her work out. I was extremely impressed by her techniques, that she, to put it in this way, she fought like a guy, and she knew how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what impressed a lot of people and brought her the rest of her life on.
Yeah.
She made some money. She was a good athlete, but her domestic situation wasn't so hot, and her old husband is sitting in jail.
Hey, Godfather, he was one of, you know, you and I encounter a lot of strange people in the business. There's no doubt about it. But he was always an odd bird. You know what I mean? He never struck. I always knew something was wrong with that guy. I just knew he was a little off.
You know what? When I went down there and spent some time, I never saw him. I didn't know the whole backstory of their relationship, that he had raised her to be a good fighter and then romanced her, I guess. But she's had an interesting life, and I advise seeing the movie, which is more of a documentary than based on a true story.
Okay. Heavyweight championship goes down October 9th in Las Vegas. Of course, Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. Is there any, and somebody shot me a text here for you, is there any indication this fight would be any different from the first two?
Well, if it's any different than the first two, I'm trying to figure out what that could be.
For the most part, Tyson Fury won most of the rounds.
Well, Tyson Fury won most of the rounds in the first fight, using the style that had gotten him to that fight, which was a 6'8" or 9" guy boxing and knowing how to box and using his length and so on. He got a draw out of it, despite the fact that he was knocked down twice.
Well, the second fight,
the rematch, couldn't have been any different. He just went after Fury and beat the hell out of him.
Yeah, he went after Wilder and beat the hell out of him. Anyway, Godfather, I wish you the best. Kiss the Godma, give her a big hug for me, and we'll talk soon.
Take care, Pedro.
Welcome back. The return of the retired HBO Godfather, Larry Merchant. I couldn't be happier right now, and there's no doubt about it. Of course, hour number two still to come. The coal miner's daughter, Christy Martin, she'll talk about how she survived being both shot and stabbed and promoted by Don King. Three things we'll put to her right away, of course, in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. I want to mention the people on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. My man in St. Louis, I'm talking about Main Event Matt. You are tuned to the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Chris Eubank Jr. coming back. October 2nd. Looks like that might be on Sky Sports. Speaking of Sky Sports, Clarissa Shields signed with Sky Sports. Why? We'll talk about that after the break. You are tuned to Rink Talk and WBC TV.
I feel nice.